Father, we thank you for your infinite love for a sinful world. We thank you that you so loved us that you gave your only begotten Son. Thank you for his death on the cross, for his sacrifice on our behalf, making everything possible. Everything that you have given us possible because of the work of Christ on the cross. All of your provisions of grace made for us through the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that in his name. Amen. We're considering 43 provisions of God's grace. There are many, many more, but we'll restrict our study to 43 of them, hopefully to gain an understanding for what God, through Christ, has accomplished for the world and what God, through Christ, has accomplished for us, members of the body of Christ. The seventh provision, we have already considered six of them, is justification for the unrighteous. Justification for the unrighteous. The word justification means to declare righteous. And so God has, through what Christ accomplished on the cross, felt free to and able to declare sinners righteous, which is an amazing thing. We actually dealt with this a bit as it relates to the grace of God in Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 28. Justification. How do men seek to justify themselves before a holy God? It's always by their own works, by their own righteousness, rather than by the gift righteousness of God through Christ. The only righteousness that God accepts is his own righteousness. And the only possible way for us to be accepted before a holy, righteous God is to have him impute, place to our account, his righteousness. In order to do that, he had to deal with what was actually in our account prior to being declared righteousness, and that is our sin. God had to deal with our sin before he could declare us righteous. Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, this is after the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul. Barnabas and Paul are in Antioch. And in Acts chapter, where am I now? It's not chapter, I believe it's chapter 13. Yep, that's it. Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. This man, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, and by him all that believe are justified. All that believe are justified. And so, the Apostle Paul is presenting something unique, something new, and that is the fact that people need to believe in order to be justified, in order to be declared righteous. So there's nothing that man can do other than believe in what God has done through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the contrast here is presented in verse 39. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. And then he says to the Jews in his audience, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So here we have belief and the law of Moses. And he says, you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law revealed God's righteousness to a certain extent. We find out through the law that God is a holy God, that he is a God of truth and of righteousness. And God, having given the law to the nation of Israel, never gave it to them so that they would be justified by it, so that they would be declared righteous by it. Unfortunately, there are multitudes of people through the ages and today who seek to be justified by the law of Moses, by law works, by their own merit, by their own performance. And the Apostle Paul, preaching here, says that justification is only possible as an individual believes and doesn't work. And so by him, all that believe are justified, declared righteous from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. He doesn't say from which ye would not. He doesn't point the failure on the sincerity or the works of the people that try to justify themselves by law. He didn't say ye would not. He said you could not. No matter how much you tried, no matter how sincere, no matter how zealous your pursuit of keeping the law of Moses, it could just never justify, it could never declare righteous. Because the law could never deal with sin, and the law could never provide righteousness for any sinner. And so it is by believing. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul states this once again in his doctrine of salvation. And he says in chapter 3 and verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The law of Moses could not, and no man ever will be justified, be declared righteous before a holy and a righteous God in his sight. Now, you might think that you can be justified before people, and people may be impressed with your morality, with your sincerity, with all of the religious activity that you participate in, but it is unacceptable before a holy, righteous God. In his sight, no one will ever be declared righteous by law works or law keeping. By the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Law was never given to the Jews in order to declare them righteous by keeping it. The law was given to point out their sin, their need of a Savior, their need of a righteousness that was a gift righteousness, a righteousness that they could not muster up themselves by their own effort. And so Paul says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's the purpose of law. And law brings wrath and judgment and pronounces individuals guilty before God. Never meant to produce righteousness. Faith, believing, does. And it's not believing in anything or anyone. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. And so it is by faith. Justification is by faith. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. The whole point that Paul makes in Romans 3:20, in Romans chapter 4 is a chapter that deals with justification by faith alone, apart from works. Therefore, the conclusion is, having just stated clearly the concept that justification is by faith, therefore, being justified by faith, now Paul talks about the benefits and the blessings that we get having been justified by faith, therefore being declared righteous, being justified by faith. We have peace with God, and it's always through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that God provides for us in His grace is possible because of what Christ accomplished for you and for me when He went to the cross. He became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. There's the concept. Christ, the righteous one. Christ, the one in whom there is no sin. Christ, who lived a perfect, righteous life, who Himself is God, took that which we were and we had, our sin. He became sin for us, in order that we might become the righteousness of God. And again, it's only in Christ, in Him, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin for us. What an amazing thing to think that the righteous, holy God, God the Son, came down and became sin for us. And having become sin for us and taking our sin in His own body on the tree and dying for our sins, bearing our penalty on the cross, He makes it possible for us to become the righteousness of God in Him. What a magnificent provision. What an incredible exchange took place at the cross. Our sin, His righteousness, His death, our benefit, being declared righteous by faith. The provision that Christ made and that God makes for our righteousness is a justification that comes to us by way of His cross work. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He had to die for our sins and be raised again as the eternal God to provide in His finished work a justification that is only possible through His work on the cross. The Bible also states that justification is by His blood. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Justified by His blood. That's what it took. The shedding of Christ's holy blood, being offered at the mercy seat of God, and there making peace for us, making a sacrifice for us, paying the price for us, so that God might be free to give us His righteousness without any merit on our part, without any work on our part, without any performance on our part, but strictly through the work that Christ accomplished when He shed His blood and gave His life on the cross. And that's where God demonstrates his love for us, at the cross where Christ shed his blood and gave his life for us. Furthermore, the Apostle Paul declares that justification is by the faith of Jesus Christ. It is by our faith, our belief, our trusting in the work of Christ, but it is provided for us by the faith of Jesus Christ. It's also a free gift. And we will see that in a couple of verses here. He provided it for us as a free gift, back to chapter 5 of Romans, verse 16. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. Now, the whole point of Paul's teaching in Romans chapter 5 is the contrast between Adam and Christ. Through Adam, as descendants of Adam, as those who belong to the Adamic race, and he being the head of the human race, when he sinned, he plunged the whole human race into condemnation and judgment. And we are born sinners. But not as it was by the one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one trespass, one sin by the one man, Adam, that resulted in condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. The free gift of God, free to us, because it was paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, that's Adam's work. That's Adam's progeny. That's the result of Adam's sin. By one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign by one, Jesus Christ. The gift of righteousness. We inherited something from Adam. We are offered a gift free to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. We had no choice about the fact that we were born into the human race. We had no choice about the fact that death reigned upon us. We had no choice about the fact that we were born sinners. Even David himself recognized that in Psalm 51 when he said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." And he's talking about the sin nature, the fact that he's a sinner. And when Adam sinned, all of us sinned in Adam, which Paul states in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all sinned, when? In Adam. And continue to demonstrate the sinfulness by the sin acts and continue to come short of the glory of God. And so we inherited that. We had no choice about that. And that being the case, and God seeing the need of the human race, he decided in his infinite love for us to send his Son to shed his blood and die on the cross so that he could be free to offer us a gift. We don't inherit righteousness. We don't inherit righteousness because we're born into a Christian home. We don't inherit righteousness because we go to a church that preaches righteousness. We only receive righteousness as a gift by faith. God offers that gift to the human race, free to us because it was paid for by his Son on the cross. a free gift. And all we need to do is receive, and to receive is to believe, and to believe is to receive. He came unto his own, but his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. To receive him is to believe in him. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the one and only way of salvation? The one and only provision made for humans to receive God's righteousness. And now Paul says also that we are justified by faith of Jesus Christ. Now, we have seen that we are justified by faith, our faith, but we're justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul states that there. In Galatians chapter 2, the problem that the Galatians were facing was that they understood at one point that it was by grace through faith alone, without any works. They understood that the law and law keeping and law works, including circumcision, had no part in justification. But then there are those that came and started teaching the Galatians that, yeah, it's by grace through faith, but you need to add something to it. You need to add circumcision. And the moment that you add circumcision, you step away from grace onto law ground. And Paul rebukes the Galatians for moving away from the grace of God back to law ground, which is where the Christian should never again be. And now he says in chapter 2 of Galatians and verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now, how many times is he going to say that? As often as he needs to. Frequently. Because people need to get it through their heads and through their hearts that being declared righteous before a holy God has never been and will never be by law works. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Twice in this verse, he states, by the faith of Jesus Christ, by the faith of Christ. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Almost exactly some of the words that Paul states in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. What does it mean that we are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ? There are several expressions relating to faith in Paul's epistles. Here we have two of them. Our faith. We are justified by our faith, and we are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. There is another expression relating to faith in Paul's epistles relating to the faith. So there's the faith, there is our faith, there is the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ. So the faith refers to the body of truth that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, which he then revealed to us in his letters, in his epistles. The faith that was delivered to us so that we were kept under law as Jews, Paul says, until the faith came and the faith was revealed. That's the body of truth, the revelation that God gave uniquely to the Apostle Paul. That's the faith. And then there's our faith. we are justified by faith, our faith, our belief and our trust in what Jesus Christ has done for us. And then this third expression that shows up here and in other places, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, the faith of Jesus Christ. That has to do with His merit, the provisions that have been made through Christ, His faith, His faithfulness, His provisions. That's the focus here. And it's only through the faith of Jesus Christ that we can possibly, as sinners, be declared righteous before a holy and a righteous God. The faith of Jesus Christ. He faithfully discharged the purpose for which He came to this earth. He came to save sinners. He came to die for sinners. He came to make a once-for-all provision for sinners. When He was born, when He lived as a man, when He suffered, when He shed His blood and died on the cross and then rose again from the dead. The faith of Jesus Christ focuses on all that He accomplished in His cross work. Faithfully accomplished it. Faithfully achieved that which no one else could ever achieve on our behalf, including we ourselves. Justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. And then another aspect of justification is in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And it deals with being justified by His grace. Titus chapter 3. Verses 5 through 7. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Once again, stated over and over and over again, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Interesting concept that Paul refers to our works of righteousness. It's works of righteousness from our view, but not from God's view, because they're not righteous works at all. Because all of our righteousnesses, God says, are as filthy rags. When Paul looked at all of the righteousnesses that he accomplished, all of the righteousnesses which he sought to offer to a holy God, when he saw what was true of those righteousnesses, he said, in agreement with Isaiah 64, verse 6, they're filthy rags, they're dung. My righteousnesses are absolutely unworthy and worthless before a holy God. So it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Our salvation is by work. Not our work, His work on the cross. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by regeneration's washing. And what the Spirit does in making us new, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Justified by His grace. The point about being declared righteous, in summary, is this, that it is never by our works. It cannot be by our works. It was never meant to be by our works. And it is only through the provisions that God has made in His mercy, in His grace, in the faithfulness of what Christ accomplished on the cross when He shed His blood and gave His life. That is justification before a holy God. And there is no other way to be accepted before God. No other way. in spite of all the sincere efforts that man exerts, because it's not about sincerity, nor is it just about believing anything, nor is it about any efforts that we put into it. It's by grace, through faith, through the work that Christ accomplished on the cross. The only way to be justified, the only way to be declared righteous, is as a gift from God to a sinful man or woman. That's a blessing, a provision of God's grace, justification for the unrighteous. The eighth provision of God's grace is forgiveness for the guilty. Forgiveness for the guilty. We as sinners are guilty before a holy God. We are sinners, clearly declared to be sinners in the Old Testament and in the New. Man is a sinner. How is forgiveness achieved? How do we get forgiveness of sins? Look at Acts chapter 13 once again. We read these verses previously as it relates to justification, but now as it relates to forgiveness. Acts 13, verses 38 and 39, we see that forgiveness is through Jesus Christ. Verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins focuses upon, is centered in, and stems from the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot do anything to merit God's forgiveness. It's all a gift of God. Forgiveness is through Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is also offered freely and directly to Gentiles, which is interesting because under the prophetic program, the law program, the only way that Gentiles could receive forgiveness of sins and enter into a right relationship with Jehovah God was through Israel. Salvation is of the Jews. Forgiveness of sins was only possible as a Gentile became a proselyte, affiliated himself or herself with the people of Israel. Ruth of the Old Testament understood that, and she said, your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. She understood that salvation was of the Jews. But the program has changed. With Israel rejecting her Messiah, with Israel committing the unpardonable sin of rejecting the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, blaspheming against the Holy Spirit and God's provision for Israel in Acts chapter 7, now, through the introduction of the Apostle Paul, forgiveness is being preached to Gentiles and to Jews alike, without any distinction. The Jew has no advantage and the Gentile has no disadvantage. And when the Apostle Paul recollects and proclaims what happened on the road to Damascus and the commission that was given to him, when he's before Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul states categorically what his mission is, why God saved him, why God commissioned him to be the apostle of the Gentiles, the household manager of the body of Christ. And we read beginning with verse 15, where Paul again rehearses what happened on the road to Damascus. He says, and I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. But rise and stand upon thy feet. Right on the road to Damascus. Right at the point of his conversion. In Acts chapter 9, Christ says to him, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose. And he gives them a fivefold purpose for Christ appearing to the Apostle Paul. For I have appeared unto you for this purpose. Number one, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things into which I will appear unto you, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you. Number one, to open their eyes. To open the eyes of those that are blind. Open the eyes of the Gentiles. How would he do that? Through the preaching of the Word of God. The preaching of this new revelation that Christ says to Paul, I'm going to appear to you. I'm going to teach you new things. And you will proclaim those things. And when you do, these things will open the eyes of the Gentiles. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you to open their eyes. That's what his ministry would do. Number two, to turn them from darkness to light. They were in darkness. There was no light. But through the preaching of the gospel of the Apostle Paul, the light would go on. And from the power of Satan unto God, Gentiles, as all human beings are, according to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, enslaved to sin and to Satan, Gentiles particularly, following as heathens the idolatry of Gentiles. And through the preaching of Paul and the preaching of his gospel, the eyes of the blind would be opened, those who were in darkness would have the light turned on, and would be delivered from the power of Satan unto God. And look at number four, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. How? Through the preaching of Christ by the Apostle Paul, through the crosswork of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then number five, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Christ, the provision for forgiveness of sins. And Paul's message and Paul's ministry and Paul's gospel was designed to provide forgiveness of sins. And there is no other way to receive forgiveness of sins but through the hearing of the message that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And so forgiveness is through Jesus Christ, forgiveness offered freely and directly to Gentiles, something new when the Apostle Paul came on the scene. And then once again, we see the centrality of the blood of Christ because forgiveness is through his blood. How much is provided for us through the blood of Christ and through the death of Christ. All of it. All of the provisions of God's grace are made possible because of his blood shed for us. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins through his blood and according to the riches of God's grace. So the only way to have forgiveness of sins is through the blood of Christ. Paul restates that in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, where he says again, as he said in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Okay, we'll continue that in second session. We'll have some refreshments.